But that's the response they got when they asked that question, who is Jesus Christ? And I can't think of a more important question to ask ourselves today. This is the eternal question. This is the question that you have to answer today. And you have to decide once and for all, who is Jesus? Is he the Son of God? Is he just a prophet, or is he just a good moral teacher? I find it incredibly interesting that you ask that question, you get a broad range of answers. You notice the response that people were giving. Jesus is not a real popular person. And especially as in America, as we move more towards more pluralism in America, you know, the exception of whatever you believe and who cares what you believe anymore, you're going to find people will become more and more like that. And maybe you know some people like that in your life right now, people at your work, people in your family. One thing you can't do with Jesus, though, he never allows you to be neutral. You can't say, well, he demands it, as we're going to see today. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord God, I thank you today that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you for Jesus. We live in a country, Father, where it's becoming very unpopular to follow your Son. We ask that you give us courage today, build our conviction as we ask this question of ourselves, why do we believe in Jesus? And I pray today that you will touch our hearts, your Holy Spirit will give us conviction, help us to grow in our faith, help us, for those of us today that are wrestling with doubts about your Son, I pray that your Spirit will teach us today. We thank you today for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, they did get one thing right, John. They did get right the fact at UCLA, Jesus, yes, was an historical figure. And if you've ever been interested in this, it's kind of an interesting study. You got two, I've just quoted two of them, but there's many more than these guys. Josephus was a Jewish historian, and around 93 AD, he was not a Christian. He writes, now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, for he was a doer of startling deeds, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. And he gained a following both among many Jews and many of Greek origin. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him. And the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct at this day. Interesting, from a Jewish perspective. Now, listen to, from a Roman perspective, Tacitus, speaking of the fires of Rome that happened in 64 AD, he says, consequently, to get rid of the report, Nero, who was the emperor at the time, fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Christus, okay, that's Jesus, Christ, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. And a most mischievous superstition, and he goes on to talk about, the issue is the resurrection. He's talking about, they heard he was has risen, and it was living again. So there's two historians that Jesus Christ was a historical figure. We can say that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, it's interesting when we come in chapter 25 to the story. We're looking at Jesus, the Son of God. That's the title of the chapter. Listen to how people wrestled with who Jesus is or what. John, this is primarily from John chapter 7, but listen to these quotes. Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. How did this man get such learning without being taught? I could tell you why. Isn't this the man they're trying to kill? Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? Listen to some more. When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man? Some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Now, the prophet talking about the promise in Deuteronomy 18 of the prophet that would be like Moses that God would send, that would be like the Messiah. So, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. Still others asked, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Thus the people were divided over Jesus. This is a constant theme in the Gospels. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Notice how people, they don't know what to think. Jesus doesn't allow, notice that, he doesn't allow any room there. In Matthew 16, we come to the disciples, and he says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, why ask that question to start with? We've read this verse 100 times. We see it. But why does he ask that question first? I think he's wanting to see his disciples to see how they would respond to this. Because for him, the issue, if he were to walk in this room, the issue is not what everybody else thinks. The issue is, what do you think? And I think this is, you know, Peter says, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. Right answer, Peter. And that is exactly the same question Jesus would ask each of us today. It doesn't matter what the populace thinks. What do you think? It's very personal. He wants to know what you think. Now, we said he is the Son of the living God. Now, we've gone over this before, but I want to make sure we understand this. Muslims will ask, how can God have a son? When we were in Tanzania, that was the question I got very frequently among the Muslims in Tanzania. They would ask me, "How? That's not possible." I said, well, let me explain to you what we said to them. Jesus is not a son like you and I are sons. We have a birthday. We're created. We have a daddy. Okay, Jesus didn't have a birthday. He is uncreated. He has always been. All right? He doesn't have a daddy. Joseph is his stepdaddy. Okay? His father in heaven, that's different. Totally different from what you and I experience. Jesus is called the Son of God because he has all the characteristics of God. In other words, when you look at Jesus, you're looking at God. From a Jewish mindset, when you would introduce yourself, what's your father's name? David? Okay. When David is in the first century, he's walking around meeting people, and he meets Joel on the street. He doesn't know Joel, and he says, hi, I'm David, son of David. Meaning, I have all the characteristics of my father. All right? So in a Jewish mindset, when you say son of God, you're saying he has all the characteristics of God. He is God in the flesh. That makes sense. So when we say Jesus is the Son of God, we believe he's 100% God, but he calls himself Son of Man. He's also 100% man. Terrible math, but that's what it comes out to be. One thing he says, and I've already said this, but I want to really make this clear today. He does not allow anybody to remain neutral on this. And it's interesting, as we go on here, you'll see why. David quoted this today in his class, so for those of you that heard this already, but C.S. Lewis makes a great statement. He says, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Well said. Well said. So Jesus makes this claim in John chapter 8. See if you can see what I'm talking about here. He continues this dialogue with the Pharisees. You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. Who did Jesus claim to be? He claimed to be the Son of God, God in the flesh. You will indeed die in your sins. That's a pretty serious statement. In other words, what I think about Jesus is very, very important. What you believe about Jesus is very important. This is why we need to be careful about cults and what other people are teaching about God. Not everybody is teaching the same thing about God. Mormons do not teach the same thing about God. Jehovah's Witnesses, they all teach something different than what the Bible teaches. So Jesus is telling me what I believe matters. And it determines my eternal destiny. So let's walk through these, shall we? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, first of all, because of fulfilled prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy. Remember, the Bible, we've gone over this several times, but I think this is so important for you to understand. This is why we're reading the story. The Bible is one story. It's how God rescues us from sin. Jesus Christ is the hero of the Bible. And God makes the promises in Genesis 3:15 that he is going to send a Savior. So the whole Old Testament points towards the cross. Someone's coming. This Messiah, this Savior, in over 60 different prophecies, gives us clues about where this Messiah would be born, who he'd be betrayed by, all those things. The New Testament points back towards the cross. Someone has been here. His name is Jesus, and he's coming again, Revelation tells us. So that is the whole central focus of the Bible. Jesus is the whole focus of the Scriptures. It all points to him. He fulfills over 60 prophecies. For example, born in Bethlehem, the prophet Micah, 740 years before Jesus has ever steps foot on the earth, says the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. The Messiah would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. The prophet Zechariah tells us 500 years before Jesus walks this earth that he would be betrayed. He would be pierced for our sins way before crucifixion ever is invented. He would be pierced for our sins. David, I know, struggled, probably wondering, what on earth am I writing? Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, wrote the same thing. He would be pierced for our sins. He would be a sin offering. Those are just 3 out of 60. And they go on and on. Beautiful, beautiful prophecies. Now, is Jesus' name found in the Old Testament? This is a common question people ask. Yes, it is found in the Old Testament. Every time the Old Testament uses the word salvation, it is the very same word, Yeshua. Say Yeshua. Yeshua is Jesus' name, and he, the Lord, saves. So over 100 times from Genesis to Habakkuk, you have the word salvation. If you want to do a neat little word study, get out your Bible this afternoon, look in where it says salvation, and you'll see the name of Jesus right there. He is salvation. Give me an example. Isaiah 62, verse 11. Behold, the Lord is proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation, Yeshua, Jesus, he comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. So you see right there. Prophecy. Jesus, his name is found in the Old Testament. Christ is not Jesus' last name, it's his title. And I think it's important that we understand the idea of the anointed one. When somebody and the kings of the Old Testament were anointed, it means they were set apart for God. They were set apart for God for a special purpose. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, set apart to save humanity. All right? So this top one right here, the word, this is Jesus' name, and it starts from right to left, okay? So say it after with me. Yeshua HaMashiach. Now don't spit on your neighbor. Say HaMashiach. Got to get the guttural. Yeshua HaMashiach. All right? Now, has anybody ever seen these things on the back of cars? Y'all know what it means, right? The word for fish in Greek means ichthus. All right? You spell ichthus like this. And somebody in the early church thought of a really cool way to have a little, you know, kind of an acronym. Jesus Christus Theos Vios Soter. Say it with me. Jesus Christus Vios Theos Vios Soter. See, now you got a Greek and a Hebrew lesson today. How about that? Now, that tells you right there, when an early Christian would be in a marketplace, and he was wondering if the guy he's talking with is a Christian, what he would do is he'd draw half of the fish. And if he was a follower of Jesus, the other guy would draw the rest of the fish. And that's how they knew in secret that they were followers of Jesus. Because it really wasn't popular to be a follower of Jesus in that time frame. I thought you'd all enjoy that. Secondly, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. A lot of people don't believe this. They say, that's impossible. I don't see how that could happen. The prophet Isaiah, 740 years before Jesus comes, says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. And it's fulfilled in Jesus. My question to you is, if the fact that Jesus is not created, he has always been, if we believe that, you know, God created the universe, what would stop him from walking among us? If you believe in the creation, if you believe that God created all things, what would stop him from doing that? I believe with all my heart in the virgin birth of Jesus. It proves he is God in the flesh. Thirdly, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God because of his miracles. His miracles. Miracles are something only God can do. Only God can walk on water. Okay? There's a guy, several years back in the 90s, there was this guy from India that claimed that he could walk on water. And he built everybody up and said, you know, I can do this, and I'll show you that I have the power to do that. And he steps out of the boat, and guess what? Gravity is true. He sunk like a fish. Miracles are something only God can do. Healing the blind, turning five fish and two loaves of bread, you know what I'm talking about. He fed a lot of people with very little food. Didn't go over well, did it, brother? But you get the idea. Here's my favorite miracle. You may have a favorite miracle. This is mine. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And this is one moment I wish I could go back in time and see. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. Beautiful imagery there. And he said, "Don't cry." What do you mean, don't cry? I struggle with this. You know, why does he say that? Can you imagine? Okay, let's go to a funeral today, and let's walk up to the lady who is crying, who's lost her child or her husband, and tell her, "Don't cry." What do you mean, don't cry? He went up and touched the coffin. Now this is where it gets really. And the bearers stood still. So you got several people carrying this coffin. Okay. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up. Say that with me. The dead man sat up. Five words. And he began to talk. Who gives him back to his mother? Where are those guys that were carrying the coffin? They split, buddy. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen that one? I know the Lord had to have been smiling on that one. This proves he is God in the flesh. Because nobody can walk up to somebody in a coffin and say, "Get up." It doesn't work that way. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because he never sinned. He never sinned. George Barna did a very interesting study. He asked 1,871 born-again Christians. Now, these are not unbelievers. These are Christians. Did Jesus sin while he lived on earth? And, you know, that should be 100% strongly disagree. There should be no question of this. Yet we have only 46 who disagree. And I'm like, what Bible class are they going to? They are extremely misinformed. Since we have such a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted
in every way,
just as we are, yet he did not what? He didn't sin. So you're telling me temptation by itself is not a sin? Yes. When does it become a sin? When we give into it. So temptation by itself is not a sin. It's when I give into it. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of temptation. Amen? We got somebody who understands. Been in your shoes, been there, done that. He understands. Jesus says in John chapter 8, he's a whole crowd of people. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Now let me tell you something. You think any of us in this room can stand before a group of people and say, well, hey, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Man, it'd take less than 5 seconds for most of us. We're all sinners. Yet I find it interesting that they could not. And they had to invent lies when they bring him to crucify him. They want to crucify him. They have to invent things to get them to kill him. That's a bold thing to say. Paul said it great. He said, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become right with God. Beautiful, beautiful verse. Finally, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God because he lives. We can prove, and we've done this several times, that the resurrection without even opening a Bible, you can prove the resurrection happened. You can prove Jesus Christ is alive. I love Jesus' words to Mary and Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And that's my question to you today. Are you looking at death as not the final answer, but as the opening into a greater existence? We are people. Listen, we have hope. You have all, you know what you're looking forward to? People say, I want to squeeze all I can out of this life. Not me, man. I'll squeeze everything out, but I'm looking forward to the next one. Amen? Amen? We have so much to look forward to. This life is not all there is. Death is not final. Hallelujah! And we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is risen, because he is the resurrection and the life. I believe it with all my heart, don't you? So we believe he's the Son of God. I know some of you are sitting there going, well, so what? That's our younger generation, I believe, saying that. It's a valid question. 1 John 5 says it best. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. You realize how valuable your faith is. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Overcomers. We have a room of overcomers here today. And it takes perseverance, and it takes a spirit of, I am not going to give up on my faith. I'm going to keep enduring. I'm going to keep to the end. And that's the kind of faith God looks for in us. You will make it to the end. You need to persevere. But you need to know to get to the finish line, you overcome because of your faith in Christ. It's a powerful thing. Don't ever think that believing in Jesus is some kind of mamby-pamby thing. It overcomes the world. There is strength in that. So how do I know he's the Son of God? He lives in my heart. That's the only proof I could give some people, is the testimonies that are in this room of changed lives. Do you realize the power that Jesus Christ has in our lives? The power to change us, to transform us, to change your marriage, to give you hope, to give you peace, to give you forgiveness. There's nobody in this room that doesn't want forgiveness. Jewish people celebrated the Day of Atonement yesterday. And it's a day once a year that they remind themselves that they need forgiveness. And how much more we've got the cross, where he said, it is finished. It is done. So today, if Jesus were to come in this room and he were to come to you and you say, yes, Lord, I do believe that you're the Son of God, fall down, worship. I think it's important for us to start the day on our knees and reminding ourselves, who is Lord of our lives? Do you realize that for a lot of us, for many of us in this room, we have taken Jesus as our Savior, but we have refused Him as our Lord? We want the salvation, we want the heaven, we want the forgiveness, but oh no, Lord, I'm going to do what I want. I want control over my life. No, sir. Well, my friend, you have a big problem. Because He's got to be both. You can't have Him one way. If He is your Savior, He is your Lord as well. And He's my Master, and I will obey Him and trust Him with whatever He wants. Lord, my life is yours. You can do whatever you want with it. Take me as I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's the spirit of the Lordship of Christ. Maybe today you're struggling. You're saying, you know, I'm not so sure about who Jesus is. I've still got some doubts. Talk to Him about it. Talk to God about my doubts? Absolutely. You don't think God doesn't know your doubts? It's okay to doubt, as long as you're seeking answers. I want to encourage you, if you really want to know Jesus and struggle with His identity, read the Gospel of John. Best gospel to read. Is anybody hot? Y'all hot? I feel like I'm going to burn up here. Jesus invites anyone to follow Him. Anyone. Drug addicts, alcoholics, gangbangers, prisoners, divorced, messed up, you name it. We're all... Church is a hospital for sinners, it ain't a hotel for saints. And my encouragement to you today as we close is these words from John 3, verse 36. And when we say believe here, we're talking about a continual trust in Jesus. It's not just a one-time flippant, yeah, He's the Son of God, I'll go about my business and do what I want. Your faith should change the way you live. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. You can have that confidence. You can know you're going to heaven. You have it. It's a present possession. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on them. See, at the cross, Jesus took all the wrath of God upon Himself for our sins. He became sin. So that now through Jesus I can receive forgiveness and eternal life. And maybe today you are ready to begin that relationship with God. You believe with all your heart that He is the Son of God. You say, yes, I know I've sinned. I'm ready to put my trust in Him to save me from my sins. And I'm ready to change my ways and start going God's way in my life. Baptism is where you begin that relationship with God. Peggy began it last week. You can begin it today too. Be glad to baptize you into Christ today. Maybe today you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing?
I worship you in truth. I come. With a broken heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne. As I look upon your and ever new, make my life a holy sacrifice to you, life a holy sacrifice to you.
And reading from the book of John, in the 12th chapter. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." Pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this light that you have sent into the world, your Son Jesus. And as we leave here today, God, in this world, in this community, where we work, where we play, wherever we may be, Father, may we let the light of Jesus shine through our life to others around us. We thank you so much, dear Heavenly Father, for your Son, for this light that enlightens us all and saves us from our sin. It's in his name we pray. Amen.